I understand that normally you have one scripture reading, but in light of the sermon that I'm going to give you today, you get two. It's a bonus. The first scripture reading I'm going to give you today comes from Genesis 32, verse 22 through 30. Jacob wrestles with God. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go forth, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name, Jacob?" "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The second reading that I'm going to share with you is from Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. Do not worry. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like all of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Thank you for the word of God. Praise be to God. So, today's sermon is probably not a title you have come across before. How many of you have had a sermon titled, "My Life as a Professional Wrestler"? Probably never, right? Okay. I asked if you were a congregation with a sense of humor, because my pastor knows that when I go into the Methodist lectionary and I look for the inspiration that is given for the week, that sometimes those lectionaries do not resonate with me. And I will tell you that when I went to prepare for the sermon, there was a sermon that was supposed to be titled "Wrestling with Hunger." Now, you may not guess this to look at me, but my fiance would tell you that I can eat like a linebacker. And one thing that you do not want to get me started on is the topic of eating. So wrestling with hunger would be a very bad topic. I would start talking with you about French fries, steak, pizza, the whole nine yards. That is not really what I should be doing up here. So I decided wrestling with hunger would be a very bad topic. And I couldn't figure out why would the United Methodist Church want me to go there, right? Honestly. So I read deeper and I decided that was really a mistitled lectionary. As I read deeper, I felt that truly, if I personalized the message they were giving, I could retitle that, "My Life as a Professional Wrestler." And you can decide whether I've titled this well or not at the end of the sermon. And I will explain. But I'm going to take a guess that you and I have a lot in common. I'm a pretty busy person. I pack my days with a lot of activity. I have a job, and I've got a fiance. I'm planning a wedding in a month and a half. Woo-woo! And weddings are a whole nightmare of planning unto themselves. I am a caregiver. My parents are 86 and 92, and I am blessed to have that opportunity to spend time with them. I am the youngest sister of three, and there's always family activities to hold and coordinate. I'm a fiance. There's all the activities that go with blending into a new family. I am lay leader at my church, and there's a whole set of activities that go with being a lay leader. And then there's just life. And we know that that includes laundry and doing dishes and keeping the house clean and all that mundane stuff that consumes a lot of time. And I'm a parent to two wonderful, wonderful, very senior dogs that require a lot of care. Is anybody relating to like the very full feeling? Do you feel very full? Do you feel like you've got a lot of stuff going on? Well, if you can relate to that feeling any day of the week, you probably have things that keep your mind from sleeping at night. When you put your head on the pillow, your mind doesn't want to shut down. It doesn't want to be quiet. It wants to keep going. It wants to worry about something that you didn't get done that day. The task you didn't get done, the thing you did do but you didn't do well enough, the apology you didn't give, the thing you didn't do for your neighbor. I can go on and on, the things that you did do but didn't do well enough, or the things that you didn't do that you wish you had. And I can even go further. If I didn't hit something that resonated with you, maybe you just turned on the TV and you took a look at what's going on in this world and you saw war in Israel, or you saw the trends in our culture that are bothering you. And maybe they're weighing on you. Maybe they're keeping you sleepless. If I give in to myself, I will worry all night long and not give myself any sleep. And my mother told me long ago that I had a tendency to be a first-class worrier. And long time ago, I said, "Mom, I don't just worry, I wrestle. I'm a professional wrestler," and this became a joke with us. So when I read this lectionary, I was like, I'm gonna tell them about my life as a professional wrestler. I am a professional at this. I am so good at worrying, I can worry like nobody can worry. But I also want you to know, I gave up my career as a professional wrestler. I gave it up. And I'm gonna tell you how, just in case you are trying to be a professional wrestler. Do you have professional wrestling capes in the closet? Is there a wrestling mat in your house that you're hiding that no one else sees? There probably is. There's probably something that you hide and you worry about. So I'm gonna give you a few thoughts that can potentially help you get rid of your wrestling cape. Because I don't want you to live your life as a professional wrestler. Living your life as a professional wrestler makes you feel like a hot mess. I'm going to take you to that first Bible reading, and it was Genesis. God gives us that Bible verse because he wants us to know we're not alone. That Bible verse is about somebody who was a first-class warrior. And if you don't know the story behind that, let me give you some background. Jacob took what belonged to his brother Esau. And Jacob is returning to see his brother Esau and make amends. But he's terrified at that Esau is going to be really angry. And he has pretty good reason to worry about that. So he actually is sending all of those things over the river to see how angry Esau is. Find out if his brother's going to kill him. He's pretty worried. Can you imagine being so worried that you think your sibling's going to kill you? So if we look at this, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford. And after he had sent them all across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. He wrestled till daybreak. God wrestled with him till daybreak. And I've read that passage over and over again because I told you I'm a professional wrestler, retired. And what really speaks to me in this passage is I think God allowed Jacob to wrestle with his worries manifested. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, when God saw that Jacob was just not going to give up on those worries, he actually hit him in the hip and gave him physical pain to make him stop. And then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." Man, in and of himself, was not going to stop wrestling. And then Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So in this moment, Jacob does the one thing that's the right thing. He asks God for his intervention, right? Bless me, because I'm a hot, raging mess. If it takes wrestling all night for you to figure out that you need to ask God for help, I hope that this sermon will make you feel like maybe I should ask for God's help sooner. Because wrestling all night is Jacob's lesson to us that we should turn to God sooner. If you consider the strength of your own worries, they'll keep you up all night. But it would be nice if God doesn't have to intervene in your life and do something to jolt you to make you ask him for help. If I think about the list of worries that I can rack up, I really become quite ashamed of myself. I can generate a list of things that I'm concerned about faster than anything. But if I ask myself, what am I grateful for? I might be slower to generate that list. If you think about where we seek comfort from our misery, from the worries that we have, we've generated a whole list of things that we think of in terms of comfort from our worries. We've got terms like comfort food, right? Everybody have a favorite comfort food that they turn to when they're upset? I have a whole list of comfort foods that I can turn to. At the end of the day, do they fix your worry, the thing that you're worried about? No. And they make my scale go up, right? They make my scale go up. So I really love a good meatloaf with a sauteed mushroom gravy over top and some mashed potatoes. That is some comfort food. And that is not low calorie, right? Retail therapy. How many girls in here try retail therapy when they're upset about something? Oh, come on, you are fibbing. You are fibbing. You go out and you shop, you get yourself a new pair of shoes, you get yourself a purse or something, a new top. You do it because it makes you feel better for a little while, but then it hits your credit card and you're like, oh, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the retail therapy doesn't really work either. And I will tell you that even when I have something really weighing on me, if I turn to my friends and my family, sometimes that becomes a worry in and of itself because I feel like I'm burdening my friends and my family, right? I feel like I'm burdening them with what's weighing on my heart. I will tell you that there is really only one place you're going to find peace from your worries. I know this from personal experience because I've had some really big worries. If you can't guess where I'm going to point you, sitting here in this sanctuary, I'll give you a tip. It's Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, turning to Jesus is your best bet for getting rid of your worries. And I'll just put it to you this way. If you go to Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Jesus tells you right there, just do not. And why not? He tells you because the one who created the birds in the air that don't reap or sow or store away, they're taken care of by God. And they're far less important to God than you are. They're far less important to God than you are. So if God's taking care of the birds, and if God is clothing the grass with beautiful flowers, far more beautiful than anything Solomon could put on, he's certainly going to clothe you. So don't worry. God's got you. He's got a plan, and it's far better than anything that we can put in our heads. The creator of the universe has a far better plan. So you're worrying isn't going to extend your life, not one day, not one day. And it's only going to make you go a little nuts. It's only going to make you a little crazy. So as I read those passages years ago, I had a major health challenge. And I read those passages out of desperation, trying to find something that would help me to find my proper place for my worries. I actually ended up turning to Isaiah 26:3 because there was something there that I was seeking, and I'll share it with you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I wanted perfect peace. I wanted perfect peace from my worries. So I have to put my trust in God. And if you go back to Matthew, he tells you to seek God, to seek God. Do you know that if you look up seeking God in the dictionary, do you know what word comes up when you put those words in? Anybody do a Google search? Seeking God means discipleship. It means discipleship. Just to clue you in on this, I was diagnosed with an illness that only 150 people on the planet have walked around and survived with. I take an experimental medication. And that medication keeps me in that 150 people. And God got me through the most horrific time in my life. And I'm here, and I'm preaching to you. I carried a lot of worry, but I knew I had to turn to him to find peace. And the thing that lit up for me in Matthew was seeking God, working on my discipleship, would bring me peace. If you are abundantly laden with worry, if you feel like your wrestling cape is getting worn out from all of your worrying activities, my personal experience will tell you, picking up your Bible and working on your discipleship, it helps. Praying and handing things over to God, and not carrying them, but truly handing them over to God, really, it helps. And it takes practice, but it is truly, truly worth the effort. And discipleship is a journey. It is not a quick fix. I think we're all sitting in these pews because we are working on our discipleship. So if you ever wonder why you're carrying your worries around and it feels like they never go away, you're still working on your discipleship. And it's just something we all have to work on. But keep practicing. It'll get better. And the more you work on it, the more you read the Word of God, the more you pray to Jesus to lift your concerns off your heart, the better you get at it. And the more, like Isaiah says, you get that trust in God, and the better you feel. So, long time ago, I decided I was ready to relinquish my wrestling cape and give up my wrestling mat. I hope everybody sitting out in that pew is ready to relinquish their wrestling cape. You may not be willing to relinquish your retail therapy. I realize that. Ease off. Ease off, girls. Your credit card will thank you. But truly, your only place you're really going to get rid of those concerns is handing them over to God with prayer and thanksgiving and seeking the Word of God. I hope you'll have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead of you and a wonderful Sunday. And as you leave today, let us keep in mind the words that Pastor Justin left for us today. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed week, and thank you so much. You have been wonderful and generous in your attention. Thank you. Thank you.